You have parked and secured and hidden the ship, and you are going to let these two halflings now escort you and the 12 slaves that you've, prisoners that you have rescued from the ship.
Same thing, familiar.
The bat?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Zarkon, you said you could carry me?
Sure.
Can I hop on your back?
Of course.
Because I'd like to be able to, like, close my eyes and keep my eyes through the bat's eyes.
Yes, absolutely. Climb on him.
Are you okay?
I'm trying to climb up on a fucking dragon.
I would help you.
I'm a little tiny thing.
I picked you up and I put you over my head.
Oh, thank you.
Like a little piggyback ride.
Like a little baby.
Like a little baby.
Like a wee babe.
Like a wee babe.
I am very tiny and you are quite large, so I'm probably like a 2-year-old.
Okay, as you get closer to the city, you start to see that the dragon throne that once was is not the dragon throne that currently stands. The cityscape, which was once known for its towering spires and just beacon of like metropolis type civilization, is now marked by destruction. The structures that do stand are marked with ominous reminders of what has occurred throughout the land. Every rooftop that is still intact is marked with a dragon head, whether it's in stone or whatever it is, but the dragons having claimed it as their own. As you're getting closer, the female halfling is like, yeah, they govern every aspect of the city. Here, man, it's hardship and persecution above ground. That's why we don't stay above ground. She leads you around the city walls, and there's like, the city walls are clearly have not been upkept. The dragons don't need walls. So there's like destroyed sections of city wall. Then she's using one of those like destroyed section to kind of get in and out. So being a halfling, she sort of has to hop up to get in because there's like the rows of bricks that have been broken down. One by one, you follow her in, and she's keeping to the backs of buildings and like alleyways. Anyone who looks through an alleyway, like out into the city proper, you can basically see this entire city as one large prison camp. Anyone above land who isn't a dragon or a giant, you see them walking around in chains.
How are we able to walk around?
They know where to hide. So the two halflings are just, head down, follow me this way. And they're kind of keeping you in and out of the shadows. Where you're passing undetected. They explain to you that there are regular raids around here, searching for dissenters, contraband, any signs of resistance. So everyone here must tread very carefully.
I would cast greater invisibility on whoever and whatever I can to get through this, especially like more like the slaves that were the prisoners that were with.
Okay. You won't be able to get too many people with it, but actually I think it's just one target.
It can be upcast it though? I have the same thing.
Yeah, it's touch.
Greater invisibility. No, you can't outcast it. No. It's just one person.
Okay. Your bat.
Yeah.
Flying around. You see rows and rows of prison housing. You see emaciated people walking around. There are giants here that are patrolling. Every now and then you see various sizes of dragon just sort of swooping in and out. And in the center of the city, where the once grand palace stood, there's now a grotesque monument of destruction. Basically, it's rubble, the palace of Dragonthrone having been destroyed. And the rubble has sort of been, over time, molded to now a pseudo-throne. And sitting in the center of it, almost lounging, you see a gargantuan red worm. Ashart the Merciless having made his throne out of the ruined palace.
He's physically sitting in it
He's
right
physically
now.
He's sitting in it right now.
Fuck.
In the dead center of the city. Grin on his face, just surveying what's around him. Eyes burning like embers. and he's just surveying the city from his perch, basking in the despair that just radiates from this place. You see minions of his. There are giants, there are smaller dragons, various colors, red, black, white, that are acting as both guardians and enforcers. And the ground here, you just see patches and patches of scorched earth everywhere from dragon's fire breath. Ducking through back alleyways and before finally reaching what appears to be a dead end before the female halfling does a quick check, the other one holding a position of cover, and she pulls open what just looked to be a plain block of stone, and it pulls open to reveal a hatch.
Excellent.
With like bars that are drilled into the wall going down. Mm. All right, everyone, quick. And she starts letting you all funnel in. You okay over there?
Yeah.
As you begin dropping down, you begin to discover the hidden world that exists underneath the city of Dragonthrone. Where Dendara was a forest on the outskirts. The Dendara camp was a forest on the outskirts of the city. And Blackgate was a fortified section inside the city itself. This is a clandestine rebel enclave that thrives in the subterranean depths underneath the city.
How many people are we seeing?
You haven't seen anyone yet. But as you're following the two halflings, forgotten tunnels, abandoned sewers, disused basements and storage chambers have been transformed into a network of interconnecting spaces. And they're just following you. They're just leading you quick. And you know if you lose them, you're going to lose your way down here. It's a labyrinth of dimly lit passageways winding its way through an underground complex. And every so often, the longer you go, you start to see more and more carvings and paintings of the lyre on the wall, on the walls.
We're all very happy about that podcast.
Yeah.
We're all going, but very excitedly.
Yep.
Eventually, you clear into a large, open, circular chamber with tunnels offshooting the sides. From the sides of it, creating this sort of cog and wheel effect. Like you're in the main chamber and then there's like tunnels going off that, like, you know what I mean. It's dimly lit by improvised and arcane lighting, and it is currently a hive of activity. There are several hundred people down here. Some you recognize as people you evacuated from Blackgate. Derek being one of them.
Derek, can I go over and hug him?
Absolutely. Oh, good. I'm glad you guys made it.
We're glad you made it.
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah. How's
Blackgate?
Yes, yeah, this like... He's afraid to ask. You're getting the sense
just be happy you left when you did.
What about Pandora?
I'm just gonna kind of give him like a knowing look. I don't want to say it. I can't say it. Like, Malady is having a difficult time with it.
It's good to see you.
Yes.
And you see his breath catches and he quickly puts his head down and walks away. You see narrow tunnels connecting, and there's like little communal gathering areas, like little alcoves that people have turned into different stations where they can kind of set up some form of civilization. Makeshift homes carved into the walls themselves with like little curtains that people are doing their best to make a home down here. Decorated with remnants of the world above, you see little trinkets, jewelry, remembrances of loved ones, just any little thing that people can do to return a sense of normalcy. The halflings escort you through a crowd, and toward the back, you see a large stone pedestal, or platform, that has been turned into a makeshift table. And standing at the head of it, leaning over like this, chin in her hand, you see a lean human woman. She appears to be mid-50s. Long black hair streaked with silver. Bright silver. As they walk over. Hey, Umbra. What do you got for me? Holy shit. And her eyes lock on Yor. Are you fucking kidding me? Who dragged you out into the sun? And she, like, runs over and her and Yor. She runs over almost to hug him, and then you see her, like, stop. And then she kind of bro-shakes him.
It's good to see you too, Arya. Lady, gentlemen, your general.
And with that, you see her kind of straighten up. All right, who the fuck are you?
Mouthpiece.
Ah.
I kind of, like, kick...
Well,
I kind of kick Orchestron. Let's speak.
You might have heard of us.
I've heard of a lot of people.
You know that lyre symbol that you see around?
Yeah, that one started it, and she points over to where Derek is now sitting facing a wall, head in hands. He started it.
He's our dear friend.
He's our dear friend.
We're she is no longer looking at you. She's now just laser-focused on Malady. Who are you?
I am Malady Little. I am Pox's niece. But I'm also holding Pox's spellbook.
I'll come back to that in a second. You were saying?
Yes, well, my name is Orchestrion. This is Ashley Zarkon, and as you already know, Malady Little. We've been in the fight a long time.
Fair enough. Like, vague memories of the names. You guys go back to Dendara, don't you? You were Ignis's people.
Yes.
Alright.
We've been making some problems.
Good.
I don't know if we want to roleplay the entire thing, but I would like to immediately update her on Blackgate.
And you see behind her as you approach her, sitting in on a little pedestal, head back, compress on his head, sipping with a mug of tea in his hand. You see Lord Brazlance.
Awake?
Yeah. The effects of whatever drug he was given apparently mimic a horrible hangover.
Sorry, Brazlance.
Yeah, I already told her a little bit. I already told her a little bit. What I remember.
I'm sorry, but it's just the way that you talk like Evan. It just fucking kills me.
I'm trying to do Evan Gruffy.
He would know.
Yeah, Tinalec told me a little bit. But obviously, they got him the hell out of there.
We got him out of there. We just sent him real quick with Derek.
Well, I'm glad you did. Wish we could have saved more, but ain't that always been the fucking case for the last 30 years?
We've been wanting to, but they were doing what they could to distract everybody so we could get out of there. So, Yor and I have a plan.
Do you now?
Yeah, but that requires sitting down with a big jug of something.
That's coming from
her. At a really open mind. Do you have a quieter place?
Well, Brassland speaks up. He takes the compress off and throws it down. Well, if we're breaking open a mug of something, or a jug of something, I think I can do better than tea. And he reaches next to his pedestal and he pulls out a jug of ale, which, as he begins pouring out glasses, handing it to you, it smells and tastes very strong.
Real quick question. How many people are in this room with us?
Several hundred.
Is there a quiet place to talk?
We're getting to that.
Okay.
If I may, before we drink such a concoction, I'm not sure if this will work, but I'll do a lesser restoration. On
him?
On him, to try to take some of the effect away.
Ugh. I still feel like I've went 6 rounds with a giant, but, headache's gone. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think a little hair of the dog won't.
Sort of poison, right?
And he pours, and it's effectively moonshine. It's something that he's brewed himself. If we're gonna do a jug of something... And he stands up on the pedestal. Huh? To those who stayed behind.
I saw.
It is fucking harsh. This thing burns your esophagus on the way down. It is effectively what we would consider grain alcohol.
Have you heard 5 hit points?
That burns, and I'm a dragonborn.
But I'm bumped.
What are you talking about? Smooth as shit.
Damn right.
Attaboy.
I'm gonna say that.
Hey, there you go. That's a C.
It's okay. You can take mine. If I
double fisting.
I will sip politely and slowly.
I am drinking like my life depends on.
When he says, when he says, for all those left behind, I kind of tear up.
Mm-hmm. All right, back to now. Arya speaks up. So you want to speak privately?
Yeah, I think it's better. I think you should understand this because we should tell you this in private.
All right, I got a little room here that I can use. Tinalak, you take over while I'm gone. Sure. Got it. And he... All right. And he looks over at the two halflings. Status reports. Let's go. As Arya begins leading you away.
And as we walk away, you have a ship? You killed a dragon?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Say that into my good ear. I didn't hear you the first time.
You did what?
Okay. So Arya leads you into a back corner, like corner office, essentially, that she uses. All right. Talk.
Yor and I have both been researching chronomancy. Are you familiar with that?
Let's see. Chronomancy. That's some, isn't that like the shit they write about in storybooks? What is that? Chronomancy is...
It's manipulating time. So I can sometimes shorten the time, and it takes most people to do something, I can shorten the time. Sometimes I can slow it down. And it's just little effects here or there, but I've been able to do it pretty well. I've been able to give people more time for things.
All right.
So one of the things that I found in this book, and I take out Pox's book, and I open it, and I think you're familiar with this. This is my aunt's book. It was taken off of the battlefield and returned to her last living relative, my father. When I was born and I found it, I've been reading it since I could read. And I have found a lot of stuff in here. Some of it really dark shit, but she was working on a huge spell. And I think I've got it. I think I understand it with yours help. And we think, this is where the open mind part comes. We think we have found a way to correct the battle where my aunt died.
Define correct.
Go back in time and defeat Goros before he becomes the god that he is today.
She is very, like, doesn't know what to think of this.
I want to try to use any of my spells. How about...
Yor, what the fuck is she talking about?
Keep in mind, my lady, she's not been drinking.
Yeah, I'm not a big drinker.
I normally would think you're hanging out with Brasslands too much with this bullshit. Yor, what the fuck?
So
and Yor speaks up. She speaks the truth. General.
I want to, right now, look at Ashley, who you're not full hit points right now, right? You're still down?
Yeah.
So let's say, like, if he has a cut on his arm or something, I want to expose his wound. And I'm going to take my ring, which, as we talked about before, like, as I do time stuff, this ring glows, like, the different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to use the chronomancy spell.
I don't describe that enough, but yeah.
I don't either. It's fine.
We've mentioned it once or twice.
But, yeah. Okay. But I'm going to use the chronomancy spell, which is kind of like a different look to casting. I'm going to say, you understand what casting looks like. You know what all the different elements of casting are. Watch this. And I'm going to use just a scratch. And I'm going to heal you 3d4.
Okay. For the sake of brevity, I'm going to say, because I don't want to roleplay between two NPCs and just have you guys listen to me have a conversation with myself.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say she's skeptical because it's healing magic, and she's been around yours, she's been around clerics, she's seen healing magic. And Yor
can see the
and Yor jumps in and explains the difference that you're not healing the wound. You're turning back time before the wound occurred.
Yes.
And it's, like, mind-blown. Like, Arya does not know how to process this.
I'm not a healer. I don't know healing. I know time.
Okay, let's just say for a second that I buy this and I'm all in on it, for the sake of argument. What happens? Like, how do you do it? And then once you go back, what happens to this time?
You never filled us in on that, too.
Have you figured that out yet?
Kinda.
Alright.
So, time is currently working in one specific line, right? Every day, every second, every moment moves forward.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like a line.
Sure.
But go back in time and change something as dramatic as killing a tyrannical, fucking villainous god that's corrupted our entire world. Kill him. It's a different time. Completely different time. This war will never happen. The people who we've lost will never be lost.
There also could be people who never exist.
We are hanging on by a thread. A thread. We had three little nests of people in this world, right? We are being run off.
Yeah, but I mean...
I get it. I saw those city streets.
I get it. He's super powerful, but at the end of the day, he's just a Dracolich.
There's more to that, Cleric.
He is much more than a Dracolich. And I'll explain about how it looks like he's actually going to different planes and killing gods.
Clerics are losing their powers because their gods are dead. Who can do that? He is not killable.
I'm good, I'm really good, but I can't kill a god.
You haven't even been able to kill his son. He still sits out there.
Yeah, rub it in.
I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm trying to say...
I know. I get prickly.
I know. I'm trying to say how many people are in this basement. These are the only people. How many people are down here? 100? 200? That's it. One good fire breath, we are all dead. And there's no one to correct it. Yeah, there might be a few people that'll die. There might be a few people in the world that will never exist. But look at all the people who have already been killed. Look at the probably millions of people who have been wiped away.
And you guys are in on this? I'm new to this. I'm new to the party, so...
We're going extinct.
Mm-hmm. I got nothing better to do.
It's legit.
Neither did I 30 years ago. That's how I wound up here. What about you there, Cleric?
In order to defeat what Goros has become, we need to think differently. This is no longer simply a battle of strength or even wills. We need to do something different. Something that changes the world to the core. Because the core has already become rotten. No matter how much we try to fix it.
Great way of saying it.
She takes a minute and she actually looks away from you. She's looking up. You can tell she's processing this as best she can. And being a general, she's trying to think of it tactically. And all right. How confident are you that you'd be able to actually pull this off?
I know my spell is sound. It's extremely difficult. The more objects that I can collect that are from that moment in time, for instance, my aunt's spell book, your himself, you were on that battlement. If we can find anybody else who was there that day, if we can find any swords, weapons, anything, it will make it easier. It will allow me to target that space and that time and that moment, and we can get back there.
That space, that moment, it is in the heart of the city. It is right next to what is now the throne. So to get you there is going to take a lot of cover and a hell of a lot of meat shields. So, it's a one-shot gambit. We'll be throwing...
It's going to take me a long time to cast that spell. It's going to take me 10 minutes to cast it.
We're basically going to be putting bodies in front of you until the spell is done. So if you fail, that's it. We lose. We're extinct. I like that word.
But wouldn't we be extinct anyway?
So you see Zarkon kind of like... sigh. There is one thing I could try. In order to tip the balance in our favor. I cannot guarantee anything.
Okay.
But there may be a way to get us the support that we need. I'll have to probably talk to you about this out of game.
Okay.
But essentially, Zarkon is thinking that he wants to make a call home.
Okay.
And basically say, look, this is it. It's do or die time. To the Crystal Dragonborn who are on the moon.
Okay. She'll...
But I don't know if I want to reveal that yet. I'm talking to you as the DM now.
Okay. All right.
I also have another thing. Well, two little tiny scary things, but I have a magical spell that is a fortress. It is a large fortress with high walls and turrets. And it's kind of like I can pull it out of my pocket and pop up and there's a fortress.
Sure.
I can just walk over and cast it. You guys have to defend the fortress for 10 minutes.
It'll help. All right. You said you two have been working on it together? She points to you and Yor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to be 100% sure you can pull this off.
Yes.
When you're 100% sure you can pull this off, we're going to present it to the community as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether you pass, well, whether you succeed, or whether you fail, either way, it affects everyone out there. We either have to throw bodies at the dragons to keep them off your fortress until you cast the spell. And if it succeeds, they could literally not exist anymore. We can't do this unless everyone signs off on it.
We know.
All right.
The other caveat here, well, we just left. We've heard them a few times mention the fact that they've been looking for me. Oros or Ashheart, I don't know which one specifically, they know of a chronomancer. And I think they're talking about me, but they could be talking about Yor. But they know we're up to something, and they don't like it.
Well, if this works, I wouldn't like it either. It could be the one way to beat them.
Exactly.
The fact they're so interested in her actually makes it kind of the best option.
It adds validity to the fact that it's something scary.
Yeah.
To them.
I understand that.
Even the gods are bound by time.
Yeah, good point there, Claire. Okay. Everybody, break. Get some rest. Get some food. We've got plenty for everyone. It's nothing fancy, but it'll sustain you.
You guys are hungry?
We have ways of getting food. I saw Umber and Wendell came down with some dragon meat. That always makes a good stew.
Other than my fortress, I have another spell.
What do you got?
I have a mansion.
Oh, yeah. Your aunt had something like that.
Yeah, so I actually haven't been inside of it yet, but I can cast this mansion.
I'm familiar with it.
It looks like invisible.
Uh-huh.
And then you open the door, you go inside, and it's like this, like, place.
Yeah, your aunt used that a couple times with us.
And I can feed people in there.
Okay. That'll help.
I can feed about 100. I don't know how many people are here.
You'll feed 100 of them.
Yeah.
All right, get some food, get some rest. You two do some homework. We'll talk about this tomorrow morning, all right?
I'll cast the mansion for all of us.
Okay.
And then I'll open the door and say anybody who wants food can come in.
Okay. You're doing that right there in the office?
No, I'll probably go outside by the table. All right. I'll find like a nice, like quiet like wall and I'll like pop it up on the wall.
Okay. She basically dismisses you and the five of you step out. And Wendell and Umber are waiting outside the door, and they're like, so, we have some quarters set up for you, if you want. We made some space over here in the corner.
We really appreciate it, but I actually have a place where I can kind of make, like, a little doorway, and I have, like, a little hidden house in my pocket kind of thing.
She bought her own quarters.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
I only have dimes.
What? I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
That one got you, Ashley.
Worst dad joke I've ever heard.
Bad form, Peter.
Bad form. Peter, oh, I love you so much.
So, I just remembered something. Does anybody else remember that gold dragon we met?
Oh, yes. That's right.
Go ahead, master of notes.
Zamora the Bright.
Yes. I don't know where he is or what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
Is he here? She.
Well, they were having a meeting.
Oh, yeah!
The metallic dragons.
Mm-hmm.
The Council of the Elders.
That's right. I don't think we found out what happened with that.
Yeah. That's a thread we could pull on.
It is.
I think I have some spells left I could cast.
Let's get some food in us first.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Okay, you turn and you begin casting Mordenkainen's magnificent mansion?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I say it?
As you're casting it, you hear a gravelly voice call out, "You!" And as you all turn, you see a white-scaled fist punch Yor directly in the face.
Yes!
He stumbles back, falls past you, almost knocks you over, Malady. And standing over him is a hulking white dragonborn. With a tattered hood, almost like potato sacky. You got a lot of balls showing your face back here.